Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Nice Tuesday evening. Feels like fall, doesn't it? Jaguars do their bye week this week, 3-3. We'll talk about that this evening with the head coach. We expect him to join us momentarily. 3-3 feels pretty good if you're a Jaguars fan. I think when you looked at the schedule early on, and I don't know that we knew that there would be as many young players in significant roles as there actually turned out to be. But 3-3, looking at the Colts and the Cardinals right out of the gate, a trip to Seattle in there. I think all of us thought the Titans would be a pretty good football team based on what they did last year. So if I had told you 3-3 before we got started, you probably, I'm guessing, maybe you wouldn't have, but you probably would have taken it. Because when you look at what is to come, the Jaguars, as they get some traction with some of these younger guys, I think Derek Cox has already gotten some traction. Eben Britton, you know, has his cleats firmly in the turf out there. Eugene Monroe played better last week, and we'll ask the coach about that coming up. But as they get going here down the stretch into November, got to like where they are positioning themselves. I do not want to get ahead of the story, as Jack likes to say. But when you look at the Titans are 0-6, and we'll talk about going up to that Hornet's nest because that is never an easy place to play, certainly not with a team that's stinging like that one is right now. And the Chiefs come down here. They got their first win in Washington on Sunday afternoon. You go to the Jets, who are reeling a bit. They got a quarterback who threw 5 interceptions, and they lost one of their best defenders, maybe the guy who makes it all work, and Chris Jenkins. And then you have the Bills who come down here, and you go to San Francisco. Look, week to week, you can never say that you know for sure what's going to happen. When the Jaguars beat the Titans by 20 points, I thought going to Seattle, you know, you're talking about a team that was playing with their 4th offensive tackle on the left side without another starting offensive lineman. Really, they were playing without both their tackles because their starting right tackle went to left tackle, and then he got hurt. So they were a mess. I thought 4-2 looked like a real strong possibility, but you see what happens. So you don't want to get too far ahead of the deal, but as this young football team starts to play better down the stretch, I think it's fair to say that they'll play some meaningful games in the month of November. Now, if you remember last year, there were no meaningful games in November. After that Bengals loss up there, the hope of meaningful games were gone. And that's not the case here at just about the same juncture of the season. So, with the Jaguars going to their bye week 3-3, what do you think? Seems to me like that's a pretty good place for them to be, with a lot of question marks still to be answered over the course of the next few weeks. If you'd like to join us on the program this evening, the phone number is, as it has been here for 15 years, 355-NFL-1 or 800-355-6351. Team practice today. They'll practice tomorrow. They'll practice Thursday. And then they'll get a 3-day weekend off. Come back in Monday and get started towards that Hornet's nest. But look, 59-0 wasn't enough to pour gasoline on what was an 0-5 fire. Now it's 0-6. Today, Jeff Fisher, the coach of the Titans, went across town in Nashville to David Lipscomb University. Nice small school that was having, that's not the right way to put it, that had Tony Dungy, the former Colts coach, in town for a speech of some sort. And they invited Jeff to come over and introduce Dungy, and he did. And as he stood to the podium, he took off his coat, took off his shirt, took off his tie, and was wearing a blue Colts Peyton Manning jersey. And now look, Manning is obviously still very popular in the state of Tennessee, so that really didn't offend too many people's sensibilities from the story that I read. But when he turned and he said, "I just wanted to feel like a winner," well, I wonder how that one went over, quite honestly. I kind of applaud the fact that he was willing to make light of it. Look, the dark clouds have amassed around that stadium up there and that that organization. It is really bad. The owner is calling out the coaching staff. You've got players who are infighting. When Lendale White comes out and tries to be the peacemaker as he did today, talking about Vince Young will be ready. Well, you know you got problems. And so Jeff Fisher goes across town and adds a little levity to the process. Hey, it couldn't get any worse for those people up there, could it? 0-6, 59-0, and Jeff Fisher today rolls out the Peyton Manning jersey. I think that's interesting. 355-NFL1, 355-635-1. In the absence of the coach, we will begin with calls, your questions, your comments, what you think. First, though, let's take a break. And we will return with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
This portion of the Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy, which is in Jacksonville at the St. John's Town Center. Brian Sexton back with you. We expect the coach to join us at some point this evening. You can, of course, join us via the phone at 355-NFL1. Jags 3-3 off this week. Return a week from Sunday. Their annual trip to Nashville to take on the Titans. And, of course, you'll hear all of it right here. Some big games this weekend. We talk about anything that's on your mind relative to professional football here this evening. Let's go to the phone lines and grab Craig, who joins us from Sydney, Australia. Hello, Craig. How are you tonight?
Hey, Brian. How are you going?
Good. How are you?
Mate, how good was Sunday?
Yes, absolutely.
Mate, unbelievable. I was just ringing just to congratulate Coach and the players on just the amount of fight and heart and everything they showed.
Hold that thought. He's putting on the headset right now, so say it all again, Craig.
Hey, Coach, how are you going?
Hey, Craig, doing well.
That's good, mate. I just wanted to congratulate you and the team on the amount of heart and fight and never give up attitude that you showed on Sunday afternoon. It was brilliant.
I appreciate that very much, Craig. You're calling all the way from Sydney, Australia.
Sydney, Australia, yep.
All right.
Monday morning, just about to go to work. So, yeah, mate, no, that was great. Excellent, mate. It's really good. Really
you mean
good.
Wednesday, you mean Wednesday morning, right?
Sorry? Yes. Wednesday morning over in Sydney. Yes, it is.
Craig started calling the show, and we've told him that if he'll get over here for a game, we'll set him up.
Good
well, I mean, make sure he has the best seats in the house, pregame field passes.
Absolutely.
You get here, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, no, mate, I appreciate that. I will get there. But like I said, on Sunday it was just unbelievable. I know that the team's a young team, and we're going to hang in there. And mate, but that was great. Very, very, very positive and encouraging.
Thank you very much, Craig. Appreciate that call.
You're doing a great job, and you and June Smith and everyone there in the organization is doing a great job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it is a young team, and it is a team that's improving. And the guys are very committed and are working hard. And I know sometimes that it's maybe from a coach it sounds a little trite, but it's what it is. I mean, the guys are busting their tails and trying to get better every day. And the one thing you did see in our football team, if you watched that game, is despite a lot of different adversity hitting, the guys had that resolve and they just kept fighting and kept coming and in the end pulled it out. It's a great, great win for our football team.
Have a good Wednesday in Sydney, Craig. Talk to you soon. 355-NFL1. Grab another call. Trevor's up the road in Montreal. Hello, Trevor. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Trevor.
Congratulations on a great win, Coach. It was really exciting for my friends and I to watch.
Thank you.
I just had one quick question. When you're in practice, when you're trying to work on the pass rush, do you work on technique, or is it scheming, or is it a bit of everything? I was just curious.
Yeah, it is a little bit of everything in terms of how we practice. We have some one-on-one drills where the linemen and the offensive and defensive linemen will break up, and some linebackers that do a lot of rushing, and will break up during our Skelly period. And they'll go down and work one-on-one against each other and get several reps doing that. We'll also, on a Thursday, we typically work on games, where combination games, where there's a tackle, end game, end tackle game, tackle game, where, you know, the line is, the offensive line is having to pass that off and work on those together. And defensively, we're trying to coordinate our game. So, and then in the body of practice, the teamwork, that's when you work on, you know, whether it's blitzes, whether it's different, you know, combinations of pressure and coverage that you want to bring. And that's all a part of pass defense. And so we work on all of that. I mean, from individual teaching and individual period to one-on-one, you know, work to then brought together in a team setting. And that's all part of how you get ready to play.
Appreciate the call. That's Trevor up in Montreal. What are you working on this week on the practice field? Did you guys work today, tomorrow, Thursday, and then taking a long weekend?
We'll work tomorrow and Thursday.
Tomorrow and Thursday.
And today, we basically, other than Gene Smith and the scouting staff working out several players outside, not players on our roster, but players that would be considerations for, you know, potential practice squad spots or roster spots down the road. Those guys came in for a workout today. But in terms of us, no, the players are off. The coaches are really going through and evaluating the first six games and taking a good look at ourselves, and that's what we're doing this week.
And what will you do on the practice field with the guys? Will you sneak ahead with the Tennessee, or is it self-scouting all the way?
No, we'll work primarily on ourselves, you know, especially tomorrow. Now, you know, obviously we understand that coming out of the break we're going to have Tennessee, and so we'll eye them a little bit and have an idea, but we didn't play them long ago. I think one thing we do understand is there's a good likelihood that they'll try and adjust and have something new coming out of the bye. So in many respects, you know, and we'll have some stuff as well. So in many respects, this game will be similar to like an opener where, you know, you have 2 weeks to prepare. Both teams have time to adjust and do some things, and we'll have some we'll have a few things ready for them as well.
Bye week is good. You get a chance to get some rest. You get a chance to get some guys healthy. You get to do some different things. But coming out of the bye week can be troublesome for teams, you know. Sluggish to get started again. How do you overcome that?
Yeah, I don't know that you look at it that way, first of all. I think you take advantage of your opportunity to heal up, which is always good. I think you got a chance to work some extra conditioning, which is usually beneficial. And then I think you have a chance to sharpen up some of your fundamentals and some of the plays that you want to be good at. So I think it just depends on how you look at it. You know, most of the time when you're playing a team that's coming off a bye, you recognize that they're going to be fresher. And they're going to have a chance to work on some things and sharpen up some things for you. So, you know, most coaches feel like the other team's getting an opportunity. Now, this is a great situation where both teams happen to be off at the same time. So we're on equal footing.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351 with a thought for the coach. Let's grab Rob across the river in Orange Park. Hello, Rob. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brian, Coach. Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. Coach, before I get to my question, I just want to say that third-year season ticket holder, I'm really enjoying watching this young team come on. And if you had told me when the season started with the big number of rookies and first-year players and the, you know, half the team not being on this roster last season, if you had said at the bye week we'll be 3-3 and 2-1 in the division, I'd tell you I'd be happy with that. So congratulations on a good start.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that.
My question is with regards to the wide receiver core, Mike Sims-Walker in particular, and how he and Maurice Jones-Drew can kind of play off of each other. And looking at Torrey Holt settling things down, and, I mean, with the kind of production offensively that you guys can, you know, have had recently and can perhaps continue to grow through, and Mike Thomas stepping up, I'm wondering if we're going to see some Underwood, perhaps. Ketchman's talking about what a good job he's doing in practice, and I'm wondering when we're going to see him get some playing time. I appreciate the time, guys.
Okay, Rob. Well, he's biding his time right now. You know, really, you wouldn't expect to see him cracking through, you know, unless something unfortunate were to happen to one of the other guys at this point, because, you know, we're really pretty much set with Torrey Holt and Mike Sims-Walker as our starters with a defined role for Mike Thomas. And then Jared Dillard is ahead of Taekwon right now, and Jared Dillard would be the next guy in if we needed him during the course of a game. And he only played about five or six plays this past week, so, you know, he wasn't called on a lot, but he is available and ready if he were to be called upon. I think it's a good question, though, in terms of, you know, how do you continue to bring those guys along? It is important. We do work them, and Nate Hughes remains on our practice squad, and he continues to work. And so all of those guys, you know, we always talk to our practice squad guys and the guys that may not even be active in games and let them know how quickly it can happen. You know, you're somebody slipping on a bar of soap or stumbling over a curb or God forbid anything happened, wakes up sick, anything, you never know, and all of a sudden you're activated and you've got to play and you've got to perform and the team is counting on you. So, you know, our guys are on alert. They're working hard and preparing. And Tyquan has been practicing well, but at this point, it'd be tough to get him up.
By the way, the catch that Mike Thomas made on 3rd and 8 on the last drive there in overtime, what a clutch catch.
I mean, was big. About
he's not a really tall guy, but he went way up to get that ball and secure it for a big first down.
He's had some big third down catches this season already, early in this season, and we've needed every one of them.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL1. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more with head coach Jack Del Rio right after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show here on a Tuesday evening. And Jaguars fans, you can enter to win $50,000 towards the purchase of a new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner is chosen for each home game, and that person and the guest will receive tickets, a parking pass, and the chance to win $50,000. Log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. Head coach is with us. We go back to the phone lines where folks have been waiting. And let's grab, we grab Ronnie, who is in Ashford, North Carolina. Hello, Ronnie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Congratulations, Coach, on the hard-fought win and for all your hard work.
Thank you, Ronnie. Appreciate it.
Could you explain how during the game the offense coordinator selects plays? Is it part scripted or is it solely by down and distance? And what is your involvement in the selection during the game? Are you just listening in on your headset or do you get involved in some sort of way?
Well, I always reserve the right to be able to get involved, but typically I like my play callers to get in a rhythm, and so I for the most part, stay out of their way so they can do just that, get in a rhythm, get a feel for the game, get a beat on what the coordinator across the field is trying to accomplish, and get in a rhythm attacking that particular person and what they're doing defensively or offensively. So. I do have, from time to time, key situations, if we're approaching a part of the field or a situation, I may let Dirk know, hey, you've got two downs to get this. In other words, it's third down now, but we're going to go ahead and go on fourth down. So, feel free to use all of your plays and don't feel like you have to get it all right here. Different things like that are bits of input that I want to provide for Dirk. But as a play caller and for Coach Tucker, those guys are counted on to put a plan together. Obviously, I'm involved in terms of looking at film and having thoughts, but they're the coordinators, they're the play callers, and that's their job.
Appreciate the phone call, Ronnie. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Tim is down the road in St. Augustine. Hello, Tim. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Question for the coach. Kind of twofold. Obviously, last year's team had a bunch of veterans on it. This year's team being, obviously much younger. Taking the obvious goal of winning every game out of the picture, is it more enjoyable to coach a young team full of potential, or does your style change? And how does that relate to coaching a team full of veterans like last year?
Well, I do think it changes a little bit in terms of how you approach your team, whether it's a team made up primarily of youth or whether it's a team made up primarily of veterans. I don't think, I think too much maybe is made where, last year's considered all bad. I don't feel that way about last year. I know last year the result ended up all bad because we didn't win enough and there were high expectations going in. But I think that last year's referred to maybe too unfavorably for me, but nonetheless, you're asking, I'll give you a quick one. I think that there is joy in both, and I'll say that because if you have a veteran group that really understands what it means to be a pro, if you have a team of Torrey Holt-type guys that are approaching it the way he does, of Trey Thomas-type guys that approach the way he does, Sean Considine-type guys that really understand what it looks like to be a pro, and you have a team made up of those kind of guys, it's a joy to coach because they understand, you know, before you even provide direction, they know where you're going. They know what's expected. They know what to do. It's different with younger guys. You have to provide more of that direction. They don't understand as clearly. They haven't been through it before. But they're excited, and the energy is, you can definitely feel the energy. They're fresher, they're younger, they're healthier, so they're going to be able to work harder and longer. And so, like in our case right now with our young team, we've got a young team that's working hard and getting better. And so, you know, you'll see rapid improvement throughout the course of the season.
I give an interesting blend. You know, there wasn't a player in the locker room on Sunday after the game or who showed up on our postgame show who didn't refer to what Torrey Holt did in the fourth quarter with the game on the line, talking to his teammates,
right,
and then what he does all week long on the practice field, in the locker room, in the meeting room. Tell you what, glad the Rams cut him. They could have used him on Sunday. Glad they cut him because he has really been an impactful player for you.
Well, glad we were able to acquire a quality player and a quality person, and that it's worked out the way it has, because certainly he's been a nice addition to our football team. And for all the right reasons, you know, the way he approaches it, he's been a great example, you know, for a lot of younger players to see.
355-NFL-1. We need a break here at the bottom of the hour. We will continue with more with head coach Jack Del Rio after this quick pause on the WOKB Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show here on a Tuesday evening. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. Back to the phone lines for more of your calls. Let's grab Patrick, who's down the road in St. Augustine. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to know, I know that Jack played against Barry Sanders as a player. I just wanted to know if he saw any comparison between him and Maurice besides the size factor.
That would be the end of the comparison. Totally, totally opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of their approach to the running the football. Mojo is a physical back that runs at you, looks to run over you.
It's like John Riggins.
I mean, he's a power back. It's what he is. And Barry Sanders was Mr. Helicopter. I mean, he would pull up to a pile of players, and he would kind of get in a helicopter mode and like fall backwards gracefully 3 yards while everybody else dove and hit the ground, and then re-accelerate at full speed in a nanosecond and be around you. And it's just a totally different style. Now, both great players. Now, Maurice is obviously early in his career. Barry Sanders went on, you know, had a tremendous run, had a tremendous career. But I think, you know, after you get past the height, you know, you're talking about two gifted players that happen to play the same position and happen to both have been, you know, shorter in stature, but both great players, and we're certainly glad we have Mojo right now.
Just the number of touchdowns that he has produced in a short time here, it's overwhelming. When he gets around the goal line, man, there's nothing keeping him out. That was his 10th game with at least 2 touchdowns in his short career, and you're 8-2 when he does. No surprise. When he has a big day, you win.
Yeah, we like seeing him have big days.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab Gus, who joins us on his mobile phone. Hello, Gus. Welcome to the show.
Hello, fellas. Thank you for taking my call. I was out of town this weekend and watched the game in Philadelphia. I'm a 15-year season ticket holder, club seat holder, and I've enjoyed it a lot. But this weekend, watching it out of town, I was embarrassed for the city of Jacksonville. The small number of fans there, plus in the middle of the fourth quarter, it looked like half the fans left. And everybody where I was commented on it. You have a comment on that?
Brian?
To be honest with you, we've talked about this ad nauseum. I mean, dating back to the spring when it appeared that ticket sales were not going to go strong. Over the last couple of weeks, it has it's been difficult. You know, when we were in Houston, when we were in Seattle, people ask about it. What can you say? I mean, it all sounds like an excuse. So to be honest with you, Gus, we just really don't even talk about it anymore. And if we open the lines up to discuss just that subject, we'd never get off of it. We'd never get to talk about football. Last night on Jaguars Monday, all Vic was able to do was talk about that. And to be honest with you, I think people are tired of hearing it. Get the point? A lot of people who are listening right now concur with you on that, but discussing it at length doesn't do any good. So we're just going to peaceably pass by that one, unless, Coach, you have something to say about it.
I mean, it.
There's just nothing you
can
say.
I've never seen anything like it.
No, it is. You're absolutely right.
I've never
right.
seen anything like it. No. I mean, I've played and coached all over the place, all over the country. I've never seen anything like it. And I hear a lot of different reasons.
Right.
And I, quite frankly, they sound like a lot of excuses, and it really doesn't matter. I don't think you have to have one. If you want to come, come.
Sure.
And we'd love to have you. I mean, that's, you know, we're working hard on a product. We were, you can't wait until you have won a championship to support it. I think then it's too late. You missed the championship year. Only thing I can say is we're working hard. We're trying to win every game, and it's pure. I think the intent of what we're about and what our guys are doing is very pure. Hopefully people find that entertaining.
Does it affect your team?
At some point it could.
Yeah.
At some point it could. I think that right now we're just, you know, enjoying each other, enjoying going out and competing. And the people that show are having a blast, and we're just enjoying them.
And we'll leave it at that, Gus. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Brent is in Neptune Beach. Hello, Brent. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to say two things. One, I do a lot of work up in the Charlotte area, and they're still praising your hard work up there every time your name comes up, or that I tell them I live in Jacksonville, that they have a lot. Still have a high regard for you in Charlotte.
Thank you.
And also about the game Sunday, and I was following up on the one guy. He was play calling. I mean, it was a great effort. I don't think anybody let down at all during the game. But it seemed like the plays were just kind of predictable. I know everybody goes there when there's trouble. But wondering why we got some really good tight ends, and it seems like they get us out of trouble a lot of times. But it didn't seem like we went to them much this week. Thanks.
All right, you got it. Appreciate. Go ahead. Anything else? I guess we lost him. Anyway, I guess when you hear about predictability, when you watch Peyton Manning and the Colts offense, there's not a more predictable offense out there. You know exactly what they're going to do, but he does it at such a high level, precision, and he carves people up. And I don't know that when you're talking about the Nashville, and obviously you want to have wrinkles and things to keep people off balance, and we work hard at that. But I don't know that I really, really, truly understand that statement. I think our guys did a lot. I think we generated about 500 yards of offense.
492.
Now the only thing I didn't like is that we, rather than finish with touchdowns, we turned the ball over a few times, and that stunted our opportunity, you know, to score points and really put the game away. So, you know, that certainly, protect the football is a battle cry that we have to hear. But, you know, when you generate almost 500 yards of offense, that's a pretty good day in the NFL.
What are the numbers? I mean, if you're plus two, you win, what, 83% of the time? If you're minus two, that means
well, the opposite.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What about if you have two red zone turnovers? I mean, when you turn the ball over that close to scoring twice, chances are you don't win.
Right. No, yeah, it's a lot to overcome. It is a lot to overcome. We were fortunate to be able to fight our way through that. That is a lot to overcome, along with one of those being one of those turnovers being one that went the other way.
Right,
didn't even get a chance to defend it. So, I certainly understand. Look, everybody, you know, has different visions of what they want to see, but I think execution is what you really want, and points and production, and we're looking for more points. I think the turnovers or the lack of them will help that. But we are throwing the ball and running the ball fairly effectively right now. We just want to build on that.
Appreciate the phone call. We take a break and return with more with head coach Jack Del Rio after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach of the Jaguars bye week, and then a week from Sunday off to LP Field in Nashville for the Jaguars-Titans game. Back to the phone lines to Clearmont, Florida, where Carl is standing by. Carl, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Hey, thank you, Coach. I got to say, I'm not the biggest Jaguar fan because I'm a transplanted Nashvillian, so my question is kind of more towards your game plan for the Titans. With the decimations they've had in their defense, especially in their secondary backfield, when you approach a team that's struggling like the Titans are doing, especially with injuries, do you change your offensive strategy any to try to take advantage of that, or do you just go with your game plan and let that kind of flow into the flow of your coordinators?
No, I think every team out there adjusts their plan based on who the team has and ready for that particular game, and I think this game, you know, coming up will be no different. I mean, I know they'll get some people back, but I think your plan has to be for that team that is showing up that particular day, and any adjustments that you have to make or they have to make are accounted for. That's part of what we do with our personnel departments. That's part of what we do with our coaching staff. That's part of why we spend so much time preparing for each other, is dialing that stuff in, is getting a real solid understanding of how they're going to utilize people, how they're going to protect people, how they're going to attack you with people. That's all part of the game plan. We're not going to get into specifics, but certainly that's a big part of it. And I think the one thing about them is that this is a proud football group of football players and coaches that had a great year last year, that has not had a good start this year. But I don't really feel like this next game coming up is about them. I think it's about us. And the story, you know, people are going to want to take the story to them, and what are you going to do, and oh, my gosh, and what if they do this, and oh, my gosh, and all that. And to me, it's about us and execution. It's about us and the work that we've got to put in to be the kind of team that we want to be, and that's where the focus is going to be going into this ball game.
Carl, appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL1. John is down the road in Palatka. Hello, John. Welcome to the Head Coach's Show.
Hey, thanks for having me, and Coach Del Rio, thanks for having me. I just wanted to let you know that I came out Sunday with the family, my two boys, and I saw a great game, great product, and I know we're not supposed to speak about it, about the attendance, but I thought it was, you know, it was loud in there at times, and then towards the end of the game, I mean, it was just really awesome, and I'm really proud to be a Jags fan, and I'm really proud in the way the team pulled together at the end of the game.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that you were able to get your boys out there and enjoy a game like that. I know that I still have very fond memories of my dad from time to time taking me to Raiders games growing up in the Bay Area, and I think those memories will be with your boys the rest of their lives, and appreciate you coming out and supporting us and giving your boys a memory like that.
Appreciate it. We need a break. We'll return with more. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Football Network. Jaguars fans, you could vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. That means your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game, all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org. For the details, Brian Sexton back with you. The head coach has gone back across the hall. Coach is trying to get out of here early tonight. If you know anything about the NFL schedule, you know the Tuesdays at night that most of them spend the night here. So a Tuesday night at home sounds like a pretty good idea for many of them. We'll take your calls, questions, and comments here over the next 10 minutes left in our program. 355-NFL1 if you'd like to join us on the program. 355-6351. Let's go to Mandarin. Mike standing by. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, man. Hey, just had a quick comment. Just an observation. A little group of circle of friends that I have, we all at one time had season tickets, and now we just attend occasionally, sitting around talking with friends, and we've kind of come to consensus that it would be, I don't know, the quarterback is not interesting. I don't know. It's just what we have with my friends, what we've deduced.
What do you mean? What do you mean by interesting?
I don't know. It's not as fun anymore. I mean, he's not exciting. He's gotten good at what he does or something. I don't know. And he doesn't have to take the chances that he used to anymore. I don't know. It's just not as. He's not as exciting as he used to be.
As David used to be?
Exactly, yeah.
That's the first. I got to be honest with you now. It's the first time I've heard that, Mike. I mean, David he's not Mark Brunell in terms of being the guy who can stand in the pocket and pick apart a defense, although he's had a couple of moments this year where he's looked much better at doing that. But, you know, so many people around here for so many years, really, they fell in love with Brunell because of that scrambling ability and keeping plays alive. I mean, I don't think anybody will forget the 29-yard run in the playoff game in Denver on third down that set up Jimmy Smith's 16-yard touchdown a play later. And here's David, who runs as well, if not better, than Mark did. So, I mean, I'll take what you say as fact that he doesn't entertain you. And let's be honest that football today as it exists is not the same as it was when Joe and I were kids. You know,
about it last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about it's entertainment for people, and they're looking for something in particular. Now, I will say this. You know, I mean, who's the most entertaining quarterback in football to you? Favre?
I don't know. Probably Breeze.
Okay. I mean, you're talking about a guy that really doesn't do much but throw. Stand and throw. Same thing with Peyton Manning.
He's good at it.
Well, you're right. No. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Breeze is as good as you'll find. You know, I like to watch Roethlisberger play. I mean, this is a guy that will stand there with his feet planted. Now, he can run, too, but he'll stand there and let the rush come to him, get hit. Defenders bounce off of him, spins to the outside, plants, more guys coming on him, and then he threads the needle like he did here with Hines Ward last year with John Henderson draped all over him. I mean, I like to watch that guy play. But, you know, it's an interesting concept. Here's the key, though. It's a team game. There are 22 players who are playing. More than that, really. But 11 on offense, 11 on defense. Coach, personality, the team. If we're at a point where all we're doing is watching one player and one player makes the decision on whether they sell enough tickets or not, then the Jaguars don't have enough of those players. So we'll leave it at that because we do need to take a break. And this conversation will continue tomorrow night, no doubt, on Jaguars This Week. We just tried to inject some football into the conversation tonight. Appreciate the conversation, Mike. We'll take a break and come back to wrap the show up after this on Jaguars Radio. Back to wrap up the Jack Del Rio Show. Thanks for joining us this evening. Jaguars off this week. Return next a week from Sunday, 1 o'clock. Is it 1 o'clock kickoff, Joe? 4 o'clock kickoff. Late game in Nashville. Just saw that the other day and remembered that it is not the traditional 1 o'clock kickoff that we have come to know. Was just, you know, thinking more about what Mike said in terms of interesting, entertaining quarterbacks. And, you know, I guess when you look at Garrard over the course of his career, it's not just the legs or just the arm. He said Drew Brees was the guy that he really enjoyed watching. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about a guy who has 13 touchdown passes already this season. And, you know, another couple weeks, the most that David has ever thrown in a season is 18. So Brees is there, you know, in six games within striking distance of that. Now, you might be interested to know that the most touchdown passes that any Jaguars quarterback has ever thrown in a season, ever, is Mark Brunell in 1996. That was the year he had a 4,000-yard passing season. Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell emerged. You know the whole story. You know that year he only threw 20 touchdown passes? So it's not like this team has ever had a quarterback like a Manning or a Breeze that's just tossing them left and right. Just not the way it is. But interesting subject matter nonetheless. Thanks for joining us this evening. For Joe Fortunato, for Jack Del Rio, have a great evening, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.